Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome everyone once again to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF. It is October 19, 2010, 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you're live on with the RF Sports Radio Show. If this is your first time listening or tuning in, this show will be going through all the professional sports, college sports, sports topics, sporting events, opinions, scores, highlights. We do the whole nine here, so we'll go through everything. If you guys are listening to us online at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports or on our blog, you're more than welcome to call in, give us your opinion if you want to comment on any particular topic that we cover. The call-in number, as always, is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. So without further ado, we'll get the show started. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, of course. Tuesday night, we review the NFL, getting all the stories over the weekend, talk a lot of Rangers, a lot of playoff baseball. Of course, we're going to talk a lot about the Cowboys at 1-4. But without further ado, let me bring on my co-host real quick. Royce,
hello,
Ron.
How
you doing today, Royce?
Listen, I'm doing just fine. But first off, I'm going to give a shout-out to Coach. He's the number one Ranger fan. She brought me a souvenir from the game the other day. I'm going to tell you, I had a teardrop in my eye, you know, just seeing the Rangers in the playoffs, the opportunity to have a World Series in Arlington, and then the souvenir she brought me. And I want to give a shout-out to Coach. Thanks a lot. I will value that because this is a first for me and the Rangers. So thank you so much.
That's right. We had one of our fans, Coach, a loyal listener to the show, sent us in a full care package for you, Royce. They had an autographed baseball by the whole team, pins, commemorative cups. Really, really nice. We want to definitely thank you for listening and for tuning in and for sending in your care package as well, too. Speaking of the Rangers, we'll be giving you guys some updates on the game. Seems like when we always on the air, Royce, the Rangers are playing. I think we're in the sixth inning right now. And the Rangers still down one run. It's 3-2. They're hanging in there. They're trying to battle back, trying to get things going. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys updated on that. So far in the game, Royce, what are you looking at? Are you like the? I know it's not Cliff Lee pitching, but what do you like out here?
Well, you know, wait a minute.
Looks like Benji Molina again.
Yeah,
does it once again. We just got this show and a highlight about Benji Molina. He's a 3-run homer. To put the Rangers up 5-3. Wow.
5-3. Wow. Go Rangers. I tell you
Rangers.
I've been watching this game. The Yankees are grinded out team. They will grind it out 9 innings. And you know what I'm watching? The Rangers are grinding out with them too. You know what I mean? This team never gives up. They got excellent hitting. It's been great hitting the whole series. And, you know, actually, in my heart, and what I'm saying, I think they can actually win the series. They're just as good a team as the Yankees. You know, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, they're doing it right now. And Benji Molina's come. Well, he's been a great addition for this team. We talk about Cliff Lee all the time. But they brought in a lot of veteran leadership for this team, starting with Vlad at the start of the season. Benji Molina adding him, Jeff Francoeur. Cantu, so they've added some veterans that have been in the playoffs, and that mixture with that young talent is really starting to pay off for them. They could actually go up 3-1 tonight on the Yankees.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be great.
I tell you what, the reason why I'm so excited right now is because I have never in the history of in the Rangers have we been this close to a World Series. Now I know what other fans in other cities feel like, you know, when your team's in for the World Series. I mean, look at the Cowboys and the Mariners, you know, for us to have somebody this possibility of going to the World Series, I mean, that's great. I mean, just the atmosphere around it is high. I'm hyped. The atmosphere is hyped. The city's hyped, you know, and I'm really into this. Usually I'm just watching somebody else go for it, but just to watch the Rangers play, man. I tell you what, even if they don't win, I mean, it's a win-win for the city, win-win for the franchise.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even have ownership, You know, they were a bankrupt team, you know what I mean, just a couple of months ago. And look at them now. You know, that's it's a miracle story, man.
Yeah, I agree. Just the thought of this Metroplex having a World Series and a Super Bowl in the same year, and who knows, the Mavericks might get it together. We end up having an NBA championship here, too. So this could be Championship City. We just never know.
Oh, yeah, we had the NBA All-Star, and we got the Super Bowl coming and the World Series. I mean, what fan can ask for more than that? I mean, you can't ask for no more than that. Right. Except for your Cowboys to go. We know that's not going to happen, though.
We're going to talk about that. I got some strong comments about the Cowboys today, Royce. You know I'm a homer when it comes to the Cowboys, but I got to pull off my belt and whoop them tonight. So we're going to definitely
get in. You know, Ronnie, I may just go by. Wherever they do play a game here, I might just drive by and just get the smell of what a World Series smell like, you know what I mean? Just the atmosphere, just listen to the crowd. I've never been there. Like I said, it's first time. It's going to be here in my hometown. I mean, I'm really excited. So let's go on with the show. I hope we get some callers tonight. Rangers, go Rangers. They on fire.
That's right. And if you guys are listening to us live, you can always call in and give your opinion. The number is 323-927-2906. If you're listening to the show on the podcast on iTunes or another service, you can always follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. If you like Twitter, you can follow us there at RFSportsRadio. Email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And now you guys can find us on our blog site and our blogger site, and that's rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. And we want to send a special announcement, too, because we just did a partnership with Tickets Now. And anyone listening to us, no matter what city you're in, New York, Texas, Philly, or in San Francisco, you guys are able to go onto our site with the help of Tickets Now and purchase your World Series tickets or ALCS or NLCS tickets right now. Not only that, but you'll be able to purchase tickets for any sporting event, and that's nationwide, worldwide. So, guys, go onto the site. It's rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. You'll see the Tickets Now logo there. If you click there, they're going to give you a special discount for listening to us. So make sure you do that and let them know that we did send you guys over there. So you get a discount
so
for
can,
that. So
I,
you guys
I can go on and get World Series tickets. I can go and get World Series Ranger playoff tickets.
That's right. You sure can.
Yeah, okay. Well, we better help and do the show so I can order my tickets.
Right.
It looks like they're going to the big dance, I tell you.
That's right. Now, there is another series being played, too. We don't want to lose sight of that. And they had a game today, too. And actually, the San Francisco Giants have pulled to a 2-1 series lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. I honestly thought the Phillies would run away with this real, real quick because of the offensive power that the Phillies have. But it's like the Giants have got power, too. And they, not only power, but they got good pitching. I mean, you had Ross in the first two games, had two homers the first game, homers again the second game, although they lost. And then today, just had Matt Cain kind of just out-duel Cole Hamill. So it pitched a shutout, basically. We thought the Phillies were going to really do something this series, Ross.
Oh, yeah, I thought the Phillies were. I mean, they went into this series red hot, man. I thought they had great pitching, great hitting. I thought they were. San Francisco surprised me. But you know what? I'm interested in the series. I think I'd rather play the Giants than the Phillies anyway. But I just hope the Rangers are there. I don't care who we play. I just hope they make it there. But it's turned out to be a good series, too. It really has.
Okay. Yeah, I'd agree with you 100%. I just want the Rangers to go. It doesn't matter to me who they play. I just want them to make sure that they're there. I don't care who it is. I mean, I think everyone would rather see probably the Giants because they offer firepower. But they've proven to be an offensive team. But not just but a hell of a pitching team, too. Now, that's the scary part because the Rangers have been making their waves on pitching. Especially in that first series, and now they're having to do both pitching and they're having to do some offensive firepower, too. So they're having to show a little bit of everything coming back in this game, although it's not over yet. It's still 5-3, 5-1-6. But even the last game, let's talk a little bit about that. We watched Cliff Lee pitch a game. He had 13 strikeouts. Pitches a shutout game. Could have came into the ninth and pitched a complete game. But in the ninth inning, top of the ninth inning, the Rangers run up the score to 8-0. And it was a great time for Washington to put in Feliz, let Feliz get some work, especially in that stadium. Because he might need to close out this game tonight.
Right. You know how I feel about Lee, Rodney. If it's left up to me, Lee would pitch every game. But I know he can't do it, but I leave him in the whole series. I mean, he put on exposition last night. He was out of sight. And for the Rangers to just put an exclamation mark, you know, they on the win was fantastic. I mean, they sent a message out yesterday. I think they really did to the Yankees. And like I said, the Yankees came tonight. They're playing a lot harder tonight. I know it's not over with. But if they win tonight, it's another match. That's almost a stamp on the series. You know what I mean? It's
right,
a dominant.
Right. Well, and you know what, though? And I think what Cliff Lee's going to pitch again this series. And then we talked about a little bit, was he going to be game six or game seven? You think it should be game six if they are down 3-2?
I said get it over with. I mean, the longer you drag it out, the worse it is for the Rangers. Because the Yankees are used to this. You know, they can turn the series around, you know, just like that. But if they whoop them and put them away, you know, and put them down quick, they'll send a message to the whole league. You know, they've already been noticed. But I think they will send a message for years down the line, you know what I mean? This franchise is something to be reckoned with. And like I say, I love to have multiple World Series, you know what I mean? We don't have any. We want the cities that don't have any.
We'll keep you guys posted on events from this game. But right now, I think Cliff Lee's got to be my MVP for the postseason if the Rangers are able to make it to the World Series. We talked a lot about Josh Hamilton in that first series, not really being able to do anything. Did have the RBI on the basic the chopper that he hit. But he's come alive in this series. He's got two home runs already. He's driven in three RBIs already. I mean, we talked about Josh being the key to this series going forward. I mean, are you liking what you're seeing in the offensive power for Josh?
Oh, yeah, we needed him, man. He was in a little slump for a while. But, you know, we need him. We need his hitting. You know, he's kind of lead our team. He's a perfect example for any kid that's had any problem, you know, growing up, how he's overcome his drug problem. You know, we need him, and we need, you know, he's a big part of this team. He really does. And I hope they pay him next year. I say pay him his money next year.
Yeah. We'll definitely talk a lot about that, too. Now, we want to remind everyone, if you're listening, you can definitely call in. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you guys can reach us anytime, any comments you want to comment on, a topic you'd like to discuss. The number is 323-927-2906. If you hit us on Twitter, we'll definitely get you live on the air. And you can follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio as a follow on Twitter. Now, one thing we do want to talk about, Royce, this has been the talk of all the sports talk shows today. It's been the talk of every website, every network, and it's about the NFL and this new policy they're trying to do by suspending players for what they call vicious hits or hits against defenseless players, I guess to put it a better way. And so what's basically happened is this weekend in the NFL, this weekend in football period, you had a college player, Eric LaGrange for Rutgers, actually get paralyzed. At this point, they say he's paralyzed. They did have a report come out today that he is awake, he is aware of what his situation is, and he has hope that he will walk again in those situations. We're praying for the family. We're praying for him. As long as he has the hope and the will to want to walk one day, I think he'll have a much better chance of doing so. But in the NFL on Sunday, you had basically three players, and they signaled these three players out. James Harrison had two players where he knocked out two people in one game. You had Merriweather for the Patriots had a hit on Todd Heap. And then you also had Dunter Robinson with a hit on DeSean Jackson. They left DeSean Jackson with a concussion. It was a vicious hit as well. So let me ask you, Royce, now I play football. You play football too. I mean, did you really feel like these are suspendable offenses where someone could get suspended for?
Well, Rodney, they're going to have to do something. They're going to, you know, every so often in football, and I'm going to take you back, they used to clothesline people. They had to outlaw that. Remember that? It was too many people getting seriously hurt. You know, it's already a violent sport. You know, then they came up with the Roy Williams with the horse collar tackle, remember?
Right.
Players were getting hurt. So this is another thing that they're going to get rid of. I mean, these guys are getting, somebody's going to seriously get hurt. You know what I mean? And you know, like I said, a couple of years down the line, we'll be trying to outrule some of it, but that's just football. You know what I mean? Every so often this happens in football, they're going to do something about it. And like I said, it's dangerous. You know, you lead with the helmet. You know, that's not how the way you're trained to tackle. You know, playing from Little League football, that's not the way to tackle. You know what I mean? To me, as a lazy man, you know what I mean? It's like you don't want to tackle the guy like you're supposed to. You know what I mean? You're trying to hurt him. That's what it looks like to me.
Well,
like
you know, I'm glad you're hosting the show with me, because now we can kind of compare and contrast the generational gap between us both. Because in your NFL that you watched growing up, it was more of a form tackle. You had to get your head across the body.
Right.
You had to wrap up and tackle the guy. You had to wrap the guy up. And I think in my generation, we grew up with, you know, you got to deliver the big hit, which didn't mean wrap the guy up. It meant, you know, jumping into the guy, leading with the helmet, leading with a forearm. And you trying to put the guy on the ground. That's what I was always taught. And playing peewee football, playing high school football, it's just the way you were taught. You had to have the big hit. But I think that a lot of their blame for the way these guys grew up, the way they play, is because of what the NFL has done. They have glorified the big hit for years. They had They had the NFL DVDs with the bone crusher hits. We glorified the Ronnie Lott's, the Michael Singletary's. We glorified the Lawrence Taylor's. We glorified the Troy Polamalu. Just to give you a recent example, Junior Seau,
you know,
Ray Lewis,
game.
These guys that deliver hits.
Right. It's a violent game. They're going to always have big hits. But when it comes to a point where players are getting hurt, and like I said, many players got hurt this weekend, they have to do something about it. You know what I mean? They're going to always have big hits. Because it's a violent game. But, you know, if you look back, and, you know, we talked about the generation. You know, with Deion Sanders, and they had all these back, you know, these backs. Deion Sanders, you know, with they cut a guy down. You know what I mean? He didn't use his arms to tackle. You know, and there was a period in between that. That's the way they were hit. But if you go to an NFL practice, they don't practice like that. You know, even a tackling dummy, they don't practice like that. You know what I mean? But when they get in the game, it's totally different, you know. But like I said, I don't know. Like I said, they have to do something about it. Too many people getting hurt, you know. Concussions are already bad as it is, you know, and players gonna get hurt anyway. But when it comes, like I said, when it's a life threatening injury or somebody really gets paralyzed, you know what I mean? That's too late. You know.
But you know what I think? I think you run the risk of that happening every Sunday. Someone getting hurt, someone getting paralyzed. I mean, you run that risk every Sunday. And I just think that the NFL is kind of like trying to put that barrier between them and the courtroom. They're trying to come out with this now, whereas we don't want you to do this. You know, we're going to suspend you guys. We're going to fine you guys. To take the liability off of them, even though it is a violent sport, and the studies are proving that some of these guys – don't even know they had concussions until after they get through playing playing football. When they retired, they realized they got all these head injuries, all these hits to the head have caused this much damage. Same thing with a boxer. A boxer can box for years and not realize what kind of damage he's done until he's in his 50s and 60s.
Low to the head.
So I think what the NFL is trying to do is trying to put that fence in between them and these players and these potential lawsuits and say, well, look, we warned you guys about this. We told you guys we're going to fine you. We told you guys we're going to suspend you. We have suspended you. And we have fined you. You know, to kind of get some of that off of them. But I think they share more of the blame. We've always wanted to emulate the NFL player. We've always wanted to emulate the big hits. They used to have shows, big hit shows, the big hit this, the top 10 hits of the weekend, that type of thing. Even with now, with the fact that they're going through, we need to stop this and stop that, you turn on ESPN right now, all you're going to see is those hits over and over and over and over again. You know, you're going to see that every Sunday, this hit, that hit. So everyone's glorifying the same thing. I mean, they're saying they're not going to do it, but they're glorifying the same thing. Oh, Josh Hamilton again has home.
Yeah, all right.
Solo
home
run for Josh Hamilton is now 6-3, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
6-3, top of the seven.
Wow, go Rangers. But you know what, Rodney? You know, a fine is nothing. It's just like you get a traffic ticket, say, for speeding. You pay the ticket, but it's no consequence. You understand what I'm saying? You still going to speed till you get caught again. You understand what I'm saying? So the fine really, to them, paying a fine is nothing. You know what I mean? It's a drop in the bucket. These guys make millions of dollars a year. You know, if you fine a 10 grand, it's nothing. You know what I mean? They make 100 grand a game. You know what I mean? But fines don't have repercussions. You know what I mean? It's just like drunk drivers for years they got off and finally somebody got hurt. And then they finally had to make it a law. You know what I mean? Driving, you know, so they going to do it. And like I said, this happens every so often. You look back at the history of football; it's going to happen. You know, they had to
I think suspension is the way to go. And you know, a lot of these ex-players are saying, "Well, it'll change the game. It'll change the game." It's not like you said; they don't practice like that. So it's not like it's going to change the game of football. It's still going to be the game of football. And we're not talking about a running back getting hit coming through a hole. We're not talking about, you know, a quick you
hands
know, tight end
man,
trying to run over somebody.
Right.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about defensive players, you know, somebody that can defend themselves. You can wrap the guy up and tackle the guy without having to lead or spear the guy with your helmet. And speaking of fines, and I find this kind of amusing, too, because on Monday the whole NFL talk was about we're going to start suspending players. We're going to start suspending players. And then on Tuesday, they don't suspend anybody, but they fine everybody. James Harrison gets fined $75,000, and then the Brandon Merriweather and Dunter Robinson get fined $50,000 each. And apparently Harrison was fined more because he is a repeat offender of this particular rule, so they say. But I thought that was really interesting that, you know, even though they talked about suspensions and this, that, and the other, Tuesday come around, they don't suspend anybody. They just fine them.
Yeah, but they had a player back in the 70s, Kyle Hammer, and that's the way he did. He was multiple. He did it. I mean, he put some of his players down. He's Kyle the Hammer because he would clothesline people. You know, so like I said, he's a repeat offender. He should have been charged more. But like I said, I think after this week, it'll be a new rule, you know, just like the horse collar tackle. You know, they had to immediately stop that. You know what I mean? So,
And then a $75,000 fine for Harrison is nothing. He's actually made $20 million playing football over the last 3 years. So $75,000 is nothing. Is nothing.
Right.
Now, I do have a quote from the NFL Players Association. Kevin Mowry, who's the president of the association, says that suspending players for hard hits is a knee-jerk reaction. He thinks the rule will be impossible to enforce unless it's helmet-to-helmet, and then NFLPA plans to fight it. So we'll see what happens. Plus, there is a huge concern about safety with them going to the 18-game season next year. So let's keep that in play as well, too. So we'll definitely see what happens on that. Let me bring in a couple of callers on coming on this particular situation. This has been a hot topic of the day for everyone. So let's get a couple of callers' reaction real quick. Caller, you're live on the RS Sports Radio Show, 6037. Do you have a comment about the NFL new hit policy?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, it's pick your poison. Personally, I believe if you begin to find players as opposed to suspending them, you know, the ones with the bigger bankrolls will definitely be more apt to, you know, disregard the rule all in all. If you start suspending players, then, you know, what does that open the door for up next? The game of football is just one that's just based around contact. And anytime you have contact, doesn't matter what you're wearing, you know, you could be injured. I remember one play where Troy Aikman was just running and just fell. You know, nobody touched him, but he just fell. So, you know, just like hockey or anything else, or boxing, you know, what you going to say next? You know, boxing, you know, it's not enough to wear gloves. You can't hit as hard. Trying to hurt a player, you know, sort of like in the NBA when they have, you know, a flagrant. You know, right. I definitely think if your intention was to hurt somebody, there should be something for that. But just contact, no, I don't agree with that.
But attention is a fine line because, first of all, let's welcome Chosen to the program, Chosen with Icebreaker Production. I want to welcome him to the program. Huge contributor to the show. But I want to ask you, now you play football, and I know you play football. We were always taught to hit the guy. We were always taught to lay him out, put him on the ground. If he gets hurt, fine. You may not play to injure him, but you are playing to hurt him. So we were always taught that. So what needs to be done now for players that look up to guys like Ray Lewis, Troy Polamalu, even go old school, Ronnie Lott, Mike Singletary, these big hit guys we've been watching, and they have made it to the Hall of Fame making big hits. So how do we change the culture if we're going to be monitoring how everyone hits everybody?
No, I mean, my opinion, I say, you know, you have to, you know, watch the film. You know, maybe you have a committee after the game. Maybe you watch it, you know, the whole aspect of everything, of how everything went down, and make an intelligent or the best decision that you can in front of a group of your peers, maybe. Was this guy intentionally trying to hurt him? You know, and the group of your peer things, I think, would be better as opposed to the NFL opposing it, because it would be the players taking accountability. Now, at the end of the game, when you take away the contact factor from football, I think you take away some of the luster of the game. You know, one of the reasons why receivers will miss a catch coming across that middle is for fear of that hit. So, I mean, hey, you know, if two cars meet in a head-on collision, it's going to look worse than if you sideswiped each other. And, I mean, that's just the name of the game. If a guy's going to catch the ball, you got to hit him hard enough to make him drop it. You know, they're paying you millions of dollars to win ball games. Now, if you, you know, intentionally, like you say, horse collar, which Roy Williams was notoriously known for, and you're trying to injure somebody, you know, mess up their career, ruin their chances of providing a better life for their family, then I don't agree with that. I think that's hate. But, I mean, come on, man, just direct contact like that. Hey, tell me, you know, it was pass interference. Tell me, you know, one man hit him low and one man hit him high. And then, you know, somebody else came and jumped on him after the fact. But that's just regular collision, man. I mean, it's a brutal sport. That's just what the nature of the game is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but it's okay to take a guy out, but helmet to helmet hit. You know, that's going to let me think. That's like poking a guy in the eye, you know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you guys think that, okay, because the helmet's been a huge issue. It's always been a helmet's supposed to protect all the players, but it seems like the helmet's been used more so as a weapon. So do you buy into the notion, a lot of people are talking about, well, maybe we need to go back to the old days and have no helmet whatsoever. If we had no helmet, it'd still be football, it'd still be tackling. Well, we just wouldn't be able to use the helmet as a weapon like they've been used, like they're using it now.
And no helmet, somebody gonna get killed.
Definitely.
Well, think about the
Definitely.
Guys that played back then. They played football with no helmets.
Yeah, a lot
we
of guys
grew up playing football with no helmets.
But
a lot
but
of them
are
right now.
Go ahead.
Now go ahead.
I was just going to say, the sport has been engineered, man, and elevated to a level so to where these guys start off in Pop Warner football studying the greats. So you grow up studying what the greats did as opposed to, you know, just carving out, you know, the mode of play now. And at that particular time, I mean, you have a new breed of monster in the league. I mean, medicine is better, sports is better, training is better. And I just think that, yeah, somebody would be laid out real quick.
Now, I mean, we all played throw-up tackle. We all played tackle football as kids. You know, for the most part, if you didn't play on the concrete, no one really got a concussion. You might get a bloody nose. You might get a couple of cuts and scrapes. And, I mean, these guys are professionals, true enough, but, I mean, wouldn't that prevent the helmet-to-helmet collision? Wouldn't that prevent a lot of the concussions that we have now?
Oh, no. You become susceptible to a whole new series of injuries that would tone down the game. I mean, I think the helmet is a necessity, especially with the number of concussions that people have been suffering lately and the issues that they're making out of that. But, I mean, you know, everybody saw the play, and everybody in their heart knows if they felt like, you know, if this was something that was done intentional or not. But, you know, sometimes... You know, these plays happen. I remember back in the day when Ken Norton hit a guy and snapped his leg like a toothpick. You know, Ken Norton Jr. that was, you know, when he was out in San Francisco. So the issue becomes, again, you know, what is your intention when you're doing this? You know, it's just a contact sport, man. It's just a kind
of... I understand what you're saying. I personally feel like if you take the helmet out of the game, then it's not football, you know, to me. I mean, it's not professional football. You know, I might as well do that in the backyard. So, and you can't have all the rest of the pads without having the helmet.
Right. Well, you know, every once in a while, they have to do that for football. Like I said, the chop block, the Roy Williams rule, you know, the hammer... You know, the horse got, you know, I like to say, it's just the way football is. Every so often they have to change things. You know what I mean? It's no big deal. They'll find another way to knock a guy out. You know what I mean? So it's just football.
We got some more calls I want to chime in on that real quick.
Okay.
We want to welcome on another contributor to the show. Rick, you're live. You're on the air, man. How's it going?
Hey, it's good, man. How y'all doing, man? How's everybody doing?
Well, I'm doing fine because I ain't a Cowboy fan. Doing great.
Here we go. We get started here.
Hey, man, I hear everybody talking about it, you know, the violent collisions and everything. And, you know, I agree with pretty much everything that everybody is saying. You know, I don't think there's any particular way that you can police that situation, you know. I can understand if it's like a helmet-to-helmet, you know, contact type of situation that, you know, that should be maybe an automatic fine or automatic suspension, but we're talking strictly just helmet-to-helmet. But, you know, after you see some of those violent hits and you know, determine that somebody intentionally tried to do something, you know, then maybe suspend them for something like that. But some of those collisions out there, I mean, I have to be honest with you, that hit that Dante Robinson put on DeSean Jackson, it didn't look like to me that he intentionally tried to do it that way. He tried to hit him, and he wanted to hit him hard, but it didn't look like he tried to do that. I mean, why would you try to? You would hurt yourself.
Yeah, well, he ended up in a concussion himself. He had a concussion also,
I mean,
still got fined.
So, again, my point is that I don't think he tried to do that. Now, Merriweather, it looked like he tried to do that. You know, they look totally different to me, to my eye. They look totally different. You know,
right.
So a situation like that, then, yeah, you know, you go back and you suspend a person, you know, maybe. But
he's taking the game,
I don't think you can do that. You want receivers to be scared to go across the middle, and it's been like that, you know, all the way back, as far back as you can remember. Jack Tatum was notorious for it, you know, and
right.
That was way back before I was even able to understand football, you know. So
y'all remember the crack block, remember? All the guys were getting their legs broke, you know what I mean? And
right.
you know if you're going for a guy's knee, You know, if you're going for guys, you're going to have incidentals. That's going to happen accidentally. But you can tell when a guy's trying to take a guy's head off. You know what I mean?
Meriwether, he looked like, even though they just docked him, you know, $50,000 or however much it was, they hit him for, you know, they still probably should suspend him. That right there, to me, was dirty. That was dirty.
I think not only him, but James Harrison should be suspended too, man. I mean, James Harrison left his feet and basically speared the guy with his helmet.
You know, and even that, you know, I can see that. I wouldn't argue that because the rule is, you know, you can't do that, and he did exactly that.
Yeah.
He did exactly that. So that alone, you know, still. But it was like your boy just kind of got pretty close and sprung off into him like, you know, I'm finna do this. And he, man,
You know, see, the thing about being on that football field, when your adrenaline is pumping, when you're hype, when you're doing what you do, you know, you've been eating, you know, drinking muscle milk all day long, going over plays, watching film, kill, 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 hit them hard, you know, team spirit. From time to time, you know, no matter how focused the greatest athlete is, you can, you know, kind of take it a little too far sometimes, just like celebrating at the end. You know, you couldn't help, you know, you look at your boy from the Cowboys, just couldn't help passing that ball. He couldn't help jumping over them shoulders. I mean, these are athletes here, man. These guys aren't known for being, you know, rocket scientists. You have to let the gladiators, man.
They are, you know, and I agree with you, but even on both ends, if it's a rule that you can't, you know, celebrate that particular way, fine them for it or flag them or do whatever. If it's a rule, do that, you know. And the same thing with, you know, if it was such a rule that you're going to get suspended if you, you know, have helmet-to-helmet contact, you know, if that's a rule, do that, period. You know, even though you are a gladiator out there, you know, but at some point in time, you know, something, you got to be able to control yourself and hold that situation, and mistakes happen. But if they do, they happen. Slippers count.
You got dirty
players in every sport, you know, like Mike Tyson biting the guy's ear. That's going to happen. You just got dirty players, and you got to weed them guys out. You know what I mean? Just like crack box. You know what I mean? It's certain things you just can't do. You can't bite a guy's ear off. You know what I mean?
You can't. But you know that. You know what I'm saying? You know that. You know that.
Yeah, well, that's good. And we're going to get to, since I got you guys already on, we're going to get into a lot of Cowboys and stuff real quick, too. But I want to just real quick touch on a couple of other stories in sports that I found, get you guys' opinion on it real quick. I found a couple of interesting things real quick. If you guys don't know, you can always follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports or our new website at rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. But right now we're running a huge promotion with tickets now. So if you guys need tickets to any sporting event, or if you need to get World Series tickets, log on to the website. They're going to give you guys a discount for telling that you listen to the show. So definitely check that out. But we have an NBA show planned this week that Rick is going to be on the show with me as well, along with Royce. And whoever wants to get in on the show, you're more than welcome to. Well, we're going to do that tomorrow night. It's going to be an NBA preview show. We're getting to some of the new trades that they happened over the offseason, some of the new look of the teams. We're going to do some predictions. We're going to see if someone's going to step out there and say that Heat's going to win 72 games this year. So we're going to get into a lot of that. But I found this interesting story about the NBA real quick. I don't know if you guys have heard about this new shoe that they got out right now. It's called the Concept One. Okay, it's a $300 sneaker, and it was developed by Adam and Ryan Golston, both of them are former USC basketball walk-ons, whose father worked in the shoe industry. So they come up with this shoe. Okay, they've already had about 30% of the rookie class that want to wear this shoe. And this is where the trouble comes in, because the NBA has actually banned this shoe. And they're saying they banned this shoe because under league rules, this is their quote, under league rules, players may not wear any shoe during a game that creates an undue competitive advantage. Apparently, these shoes increase your vertical leap. Now, let me just ask you guys this question real quick. Now, we've all watched the Be Like Mike commercials. We've all watched Nike Air. We've all watched all these Nike Shocks. It's different technology. All of them claim to help you get off the ground and play basketball better, this, that, and the other. Do y'all think it's some big hating going on because it's not a Nike or Reebok or Adidas shoe? Or you think these shoes are really giving people an advantage to where they can get an increased vertical leap?
It depends on if it works or not. If somebody's actually out there doing that and it increases your vertical leap, man, ban the shoe, bro. It's really that simple. But if it's just a regular shoe, I mean, they tell you drink Gatorade, this is going to happen. They tell you
right.
If you do this, that's going to happen. Popeye ate spinach, that's supposed to make you stronger automatically.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
ain't nobody believing in all that.
Well, let's not discount
the
fact that
really
there ain't nobody out there wearing Converse, okay? There ain't nobody wearing Chucks out there. Everyone's got something in their shoe, regardless of what it is, Air, Shock, whatever. Everybody's got something going on in their shoe. Ain't nobody wearing no flat tennis shoe out there.
Well, let me buy out of this one, because I've never paid $300 for a flat
shoe.
I'm out of this conversation.
Look, all the shoes are elevated a little bit with all the Nike Air and all the different technologies or whatever. But there's no shoe out there that has actually proven that it's going to increase your vertical leap. No shoe out there. If that's happened, somebody else would have been talking about it by now. That has never happened. They tried to say that with Michael Jordan with the first shoes he had, not really realizing the boy just can jump. You know.
Well, you know, Rick. If $300 shoes make you hit a jump shot or dunk, I'm all for it. It should be for $300. For $300, I'll be able to dunk.
Yeah, but if that creates, you know, an unfair advantage. And you cannot do that. You can't go out there and be jumping 25 inches off the ground, and all of a sudden you jump at 35. You bashing on everybody, please. And I don't believe it like that works anyway.
Now, the guys that developed this shoe are saying that they are going to try to fight this because they've had several NBA players express an interest in wearing the shoe, but the NBA players apparently can't come out and say that because they're signed with other shoe companies. So, I mean, Chosen, what do you think? You think this shoe should be banned, or you think it just ain't a Nike shoe, basically?
Well, you know, I'll say this, man. If a shoe gives you the ability to jump a little higher and you want to wear it, I think you should be able to wear it. I mean, it's a reason why you don't go out there playing ball in church shoes, as my mama used to say, you know. Those would be bad for your back. You don't catch them out there, you know what I'm saying, running half-court offense in a brand new pair of Ropers. So if you have a choice to wear a tennis shoe, why not wear one that gives you a little bit of extra bounce? I mean, hey, everybody wants to extend their career now. If you see your competition wearing this shoe and you don't put it on, that's your fault. That's your fault. Let everybody get the advantage. Let's get some NBA Jam going on. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Every shoe is advertised to do something, whether it's to help the ankle support, whether it's help you run or whatever. Every shoe is advertised to do something. That don't mean, you know, it's still going to fall on the player. The ability is still going to fall on the player, boy, I feel. I think they should let them wear the shoe.
Yeah. And me, I don't agree with the unfair, you know, advantage. You know, I mean, if it makes you jump higher, you know, no, I'm not necessarily with that. I mean, you take steroids, that's going to make you bigger. I'm not necessarily with that. You know what I mean? Even though everybody else could have the option to do it, me personally, I mean, just come out, if you're going to do it, train, get yourself good, you know, make yourself where you can jump or get faster, whatever it is you need to do. You know, that's, you know, really the part that I believe in, not necessarily the I don't want nobody to create that advantage for me, you know?
I mean, but that's just like saying, well, okay, nobody's allowed to work out in the off season.
And then if you work out with this trainer because he's top dollar, then you can't use him. Everybody has to go to this person. You know what I mean? You know, it's just like saying, okay, well, you can't eat vegetables. You have to drink beer and wine like the rest of the rookies do because you're going to have an unfair advantage if you eat this food. I mean, potato, potato, man, point blank range. If you want to come out there and play the game with some ropers, or some working boots on,
who's to stop you?
Right.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and we're gonna post up a photo of the shoe and the website, where you can find the shoe on the Blogspot site. I think everybody needs a chance to check. They look like pretty cool shoes. They're black and green. They look pretty nice.
I don't know.
Maybe
Cowboy.
I need to get my vertical up.
So how much are they supposed to increase your jump?
It didn't say. It didn't say. It just says the shoe has what they call a spring-based system designed to increase lift, is what they say. So.
You mean they putting trampolines in their shoes, man? Come on. Maybe Cowboy needs time.
I don't think it's flubber, but I mean, it looks like a pretty decent shoe. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that. Now, another thing that I want to just ask you guys real quick about the NBA. I know we'll talk a lot more of that on the show tomorrow, but Michael Jordan is back in the news again. And he basically asked him, how does he rank Kobe in the top 10 players in the league? And his comment was, he feel like Kobe is top 10, but only in the guard position, not in the overall NBA. He said he's just a top 10 guard in the NBA. To me, that sounds like some hating. That sounds like a bunch of hating with MJ, because MJ still feel like he can go out there and score 100 points. You know, and if you heard MJ's speech at the Hall of Fame when he gave his speech, he basically was dissing everybody he played against, Brian Russell, everybody else, talking about how he did this on so-and-so. I think he just really hated, man. I mean, because how could you not say Kobe's a top 10 player? You're going to say he's a top 10 guard? You trying to tell me that John Stockton is better than him? Isaiah Thomas is better than him?
Well, Kobe don't play center, Rodney. He can't be the top center.
I know that, but he said top guard. They asked him top NBA player. He said, no,
he's
just
the
top 10 guard.
He's not the top NBA player. He's a top guard.
Did he say in the league today or in history?
No, all the time. He said I wouldn't say he's a top 10 player in NBA. He may be a top 10 guard of all time in the NBA, but not a player.
I agree.
Oh, well, yeah, I can't too much disagree with that. I mean,
come on, man.
Yeah,
top 10 players?
He could be top 10 player, you know, but in the history of the game, you know.
Yeah, right. Some people think Dominique was great. Some people think Kareem was great. Kobe is not the greatest player to ever play the game.
All I'm saying, the man has, what, six rings now?
And how many does Robert Horry have? He's the greatest player?
No, it's five. It's five.
He got four.
Okay,
five.
But Robert Horry has more rings than
he.
He's the greatest player?
He has five. Here's my take on it. It's pure hate, and it's propaganda by the NBA, you know, to boost up some NBA ratings and watch what Kobe does this season against, you know, the Celtics. Because you know that matchup is coming. Now, I will say this. I personally feel like Kobe Bryant is better than Michael Jordan because, you know, Kobe is a three-point threat, and Jordan was never a three-point threat.
Well, no,
Hold on. With that boy saying that, he need to finish what he was saying. Please talk.
Kobe has hit 12 threes in a game, man. I mean, he can hit them from half court. That's not Jordan's range. How can you not respect that? And how can you only call that guard play? Now, I will say this. Jordan, for years, got sent home by the likes of Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. And when everybody got old, he was dominant. He beat up on old men. That was the old Kareem. Everybody was known. And so he had a chance to be dominant. Now, as soon as he left, you know, there was a changing of the guard that happened. And you didn't see Jordan jumping all over people's back. He had a fadeaway shot. Now, Kobe had that for I don't know how long now. Kobe devours triple teams, okay?
And
I just feel like he's Jordan with the three-pointer. And what more could he ask
for? Okay, I got to get in on this because y'all kid me with this Kobe generation. You know what I mean? That's all y'all know is Kobe. I'm talking about before Kobe, they were great players. I can say Dr. J was the greatest player. He was a lot better than Kobe. Kobe is just one of a few great players. He ain't the greatest. And listen, Cartwright hit 12 threes. Paxton hit threes. And you tell me he played against Tim Duncan, an old man. So, you know, y'all kidding me with
Jordan.
Kobe is the greatest player. That's bullshit.
Hey, you take Dennis Rodman, a guy who is hands down the only player to successfully defend Shaq and keep him all the way off of his game. I mean, you know, it's a fact. Okay, all he did was rebound. He never scored any points. He was never concerned about scoring any points. And what happened? You put him with the likes of Scottie Pippen, who tremendously affected the Bulls' ability to be able to win games. And they went to the Eastern Conference Finals without Jordan. You know, so all I have to say is it wasn't just Jordan. You had the great
coach.
Yeah.
It was not
just Jordan. But here's the difference.
It was just
you know, I will agree with you. Kobe Bryant can shoot better than Mike. His jump shot is wetter than Mike's, period. I'll be the first to tell you that. You know, but Mike had something else about him that ain't nobody else in the league has been able to display. Mike has been able to go out there and dominate the referees, dominate the fans, and he won all the time. He didn't do it by himself. Mike wasn't able to do that until he did have a good team around him. I will agree with you there, but Mike was killing boys by himself, just like Kobe was doing, you know, just like Kobe's still doing. Mike was out there killing boys, period. 63, 69, 55, 54. I'm an average 33 and shoot 55%.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Jordan had that it thing about him that you just can't explain out there. And in five minutes left in the game, ain't nobody ever been able to be better than Jordan. I'm talking free throws. He getting out of the car. Everything, man. That boy, that was something else. Kobe Bryant. Top 10, in my opinion. He's running the league right now. He's the best player in the league. Flip-flop. Him and LeBron James.
Right now.
Say what you want.
Right now.
But in the history of the game, I'm looking at Dr. J. I'm looking at Hakeem Olajuwon.
George Gervin.
I'm looking at Shaq.
JoJo White.
But even all them players y'all name it, Kobe's right in there with all them players y'all name
it. Right
next
to
Kobe.
You can name nine players. You can name nine players and you still can add Kobe Bryant to the mix.
Right now, Rodney.
You can add him to the mix. Kobe Bryant is a player in the league.
Okay.
Anybody
okay, well,
who says that Kobe Bryant can't hoop don't know what they're talking about at all.
I'll say this, though.
Not the
greatest. Jordan did not come straight out of high school into the NBA.
You're talking about a man who has single-handedly resurrected the Lakers franchise. You're talking about a guy
that is winning more championships.
Brought the Bulls into the situation that they were in. Michael Jordan did that by himself. Kobe Bryant has never been by himself. Michael Jordan carried that team by himself. Scottie Pippen got good. Scottie Pippen got good, because I have to admit, those first three championships, Scottie Pippen was just okay. Those second three championships, they had the number one and the number two best player in the league. I will say that. Mike didn't do it by himself. No, he did not win championships.
And they also had the number three best player.
Kobe ain't never been by himself. He ain't never been by himself.
Lakers had championship for Kobe was a boy. And let me finish. Let me tell you, I'm sick of this ring thing because Robert Horry got more ring than any of them. So don't throw this ring thing up in the thing because Robert Horry has more rings than Kobe ever would have.
Well, yeah, we can't say really say the rings. You know, you can't really say it like that. I mean, the rings. You know, they are the ultimate goal. Everybody knows that.
Don't throw the rings up.
We talked about it before. They're some of the worst players in the league.
The only thing that Kobe doesn't have that Jordan did have, and I'll tell you this, was just the I like you factor. He doesn't have to be liked. Okay, Jordan had plenty of kids on his wife, and they swept that under the rug. You know what I'm saying? They didn't give Kobe weedy commercials. Nobody was looking for Jordan to take, for Kobe to take Jordan's brand. So the branding Jordan has better, I think. I don't think Kobe will
That's the point I was
going
to make. You have to realize that when Michael Jordan came around the league, it was truly the perfect storm. Nobody was buying basketball shoes Jordan era. You know, it was truly the perfect storm. Nike was just starting as a company, and they picked Jordan to be their guy. The NBA was trying to compete with the NFL.
Man.
And they picked Jordan to be their guy. Gatorade was starting out as a company. They picked Jordan to be their guy. So I think a lot of people get confused between Jordan the player on the court versus Jordan the media icon that he became, because everything was Jordan. Everything was Jordan.
We weren't around here paying
$100 for sneakers. We went around here killing people for sneakers until they made the Jordan and they promoted Jordan.
You can't take that away from Mike. Mike got that.
He had that thing about him.
But I'm just talking about on the court. Even on the court,
Jordan in his prime with the Bulls and their first team does not beat the Lakers with a fresh James Worthy, Kareem, and Magic, and a Pat Riley. That does not happen. They beat up on some old men. They beat up on some old – Clyde Drexler was old then, come on, man.
They were all about the same age, man.
Tell me you believe they would have won. Against Kareem, would have won against the first Lakers.
Man, he couldn't have been too much older. Mike played with James Worthy and Sam Perkins and
He wasn't old, man. They were the same age. And then let me throw this in right quick, and I'm through with this conversation. I can name, and y'all can't because I'm 57 years old. I can name 20 players better than Kobe that I've seen in my lifetime. 27 years from now, you be talking about somebody else. So I don't want to hear that, but that's just what y'all know. But I can name 27 to 30 players that I've seen in my lifetime that are just as good as Kobe Bryant is today.
Well, I'm going to say this. We talk about on the court. I don't think Michael's done anything on the court that Kobe Bryant hasn't done or can't do, period. Everything Mike has done on the court, all his games, all his legendary games, whatever he's done, Kobe has done either the same thing,
somebody gonna
done just as equal,
Kobe.
Or can't do it.
You gotta give Kobe Bryant credit for being good like that too. Kobe Bryant is a baller. Look, I'm not arguing that. Kobe Bryant is he can go. I would put Kobe Bryant in the top 10. You know, I would take a young Shaq before I would take Kobe Bryant. Shaq came in and changed the game. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out there that I would take before Kobe Bryant. You know, well, I won't say a lot. I mean, it's it's debatable, but Kobe could get in that top 10. But Michael Jordan, man, look, Michael Jordan had to do that against the Pistons by himself. Kobe Bryant never had to do that. There's things on the court that Mike did that he couldn't do.
And he couldn't win without Paul Gasol.
Y'all forgetting about that.
He couldn't win without Paul
When he went out there and he had to go off in there with them trees against Brad Doherty and John Williams and Larry Nance and them with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Look,
Jordan went in there and had to go do that. Kobe ain't never had to do that. Those things Kobe ain't done.
He would have succeeded. He would have succeeded.
Maybe. I'm not going to take that away from him. Maybe. But we haven't seen that. Kobe has always had Shaq on his team. Kobe's always had Shaq, and when he didn't have Shaq, the Lakers didn't do so well. Then they come back, boom, and they get Gasol, who is still pretty good. He's not Shaq when Shaq was with the Lakers, but he's still good. And he's right back at it. It takes a team, but when Kobe was by himself, they just fell out the map. They got a good draft.
I'll say this, and then I'm done with the subject. I see the game from a big man standpoint. And what Jordan did is he temporarily took the focus off a big man standpoint. I disagree with you for this reason, because when the Pistons had a post-heavy a squad consisting of the Wallace boys, they beat not only Shaq, but Karl Malone, the Mitten, as he played and performed in his series, and Kobe Bryant with Phil Jackson coaching him. Now, that's because I believe the sport is a big man's game when it's played correctly. So, I really personally feel like that Jordan's first three championships, he beat up on some guys that you know, pretty much but really worth
it. Put him around. Right.
And
well, I tell you
at
what.
The end of the day, Kobe Bryant is doing the same thing.
Right.
And then
I tell you what, 25 years from now, when your son
right
comes to you and tell you,
again.
When you tell you Skeeter was the best player he ever seen, I want to hear this conversation. 25 years from now. And, you know, I want to hear this same conversation, because y'all would have seen all these great players, LeBron, you know, Kareem Olajuwon grew up. And when he tell you Skeeter was the best player he ever seen play, which is going to come along and break COVID records and all that, I want to hear y'all's conversation then. Okay?
He said Skeeter.
25 years when your son grandson. Yeah, right.
Hey, Rodney.
But we're going to get into a lot of more NBA stuff. That's just a preview of what we're going to get into tomorrow. It's going to be the Kobe, LeBron, Jordan thing could be a whole show by itself. I mean, we all know that.
Right.
But we're gonna get to a lot more NFL, some Cowboy talk as well too. A couple other stories I want to throw out to y'all real quick, and you just quick comment on this one. But as you know, Tiger Woods got a divorce not too long. Actually, it's coming up on the anniversary of that crash on Thanksgiving that started this whole mess, and comes out today the report that his wife, Elin, received $110 million. And everybody out there is saying that this is low, that she actually could have gotten a lot more if she wanted to. Anybody could have commented on that? Is $110 million from a divorce, is that low?
Well, she didn't bring that much in, so she got a lot out. That's why I think.
Well, he had already given her money earlier, and then not only that, but you know, who is this chick? I recall receiving some emails with some new pictures of this lady. So, I mean, hey, they're out there, and I mean, you know, if you marry that, you know, you can expect to give away a little change. I don't think she was a greedy one.
Right. She got off.
It's only because of the law, you know. The law that we all hate, you know, that's the only reason I would say that she could have got more. You know, I don't think she should have got what
she didn't bring $110 million to the relationship.
No, and then another news story that popped out.
That's no
shock.
Brett
Favre,
you know, but
and he takes care of the kids
to the NFL. Met with the NFL people today about the new pictures, the text messages. And we talked about this a lot last show, Royce, about what we thought was going to happen with this. Now that he's met with them and answered questions, I mean, the evidence seems pretty clear-cut to me. There are pictures, there are text messages, voicemails. But I think the only key factor in this whole investigation is the fact that the girl that's in question here is not even, you know, pursuing this case, you know,
right,
any further.
Right.
Seems to
it's
me like they're trying to get a reality show, get 2 minutes of fame. Because anybody that will hold on to new pictures for 2 years, voicemails for 2 years, and don't bring it up as a case with the NFL, but actually goes to Radar Online to do a deal with them to publish everything. Seems like they're trying to get their little 10 minutes of fame and don't really want to, you know, do anything to Brett Favre. But now that he has met with the NFL, does anyone think that there are going to be any repercussions, any suspensions, anything's going to happen? And we use the precedent from Ben Roethlisberger for reference because he was never charged with a criminal offense, just accused. And he ended up being suspended for 6 games and reduced to 4. So does anybody see Brett Favre actually getting suspended over this?
No, I don't think Brett Favre getting suspended. I mean, you know, it could happen, but, I mean, you're talking about an old man here, man. I mean, not saying that he's got many favors left in the league, but, you know, hey, I say you leave Favre alone.
I don't think he should get suspended at all. I agree with you. I don't think he should, but it wouldn't surprise me if the league did. You know, they might suspend him for a game or something just to make some sort of statement. You know, don't get caught up into this mess. But
you know, as long as the girl don't bring charges, they really can't do nothing. As long as she don't bring up charges and she don't pursue it. In Ben's case, the woman brought it up and the prosecutor took it over. And that's the way it works. If they don't bring it up and the district attorney don't take it over, then they should leave it alone. That's why I feel about it. Yeah, you know,
that's real.
Yeah,
that's,
I agree with you on that. What's the way happens on
that's
that?
That's a lot.
And normally we always go into a full NFL review. We go game by game, but we're not going to do it this time. But I do want to get into the records
Cowboys
real quick. I'm going to get into the records real quick because, again, I'm bringing up the rear in the picks right now. I'm 5-9 from last week, which is terrible. Royce, you ended up being 7-7, so you went 500. And Rick, again, you go 8-6, my man. So, I mean, again, you win the picks once again this week. You want to give them any words, any shout-outs to the academy? I mean, give your acceptance speech now.
Well, I mean, it's humble, you know. It's humble. I told you last time, you know, it's gonna be plenty more of them, you know. So it's not really a whole lot, you know, that I could say, you know, because you know we'll be talking about it pretty much every week.
Okay.
Well, you know, you had a better record if you had Vic Dallas.
That is true, man. Man,
that's
the Cowboys been out there.
Picking Dallas,
man.
If you stop picking Dallas, you can win every week.
Man, if Dallas went 1-15, I'm gonna be 1-15.
Well,
you just might be 1-15.
Instead of going into the actual NFL review, I want to get you guys comments because the power rankings are out. This is coming up on week 7, so I think we should definitely touch on this. The first quarter of the NFL season's coming to a close pretty much, or close, actually. So I want to get into the power rankings and see, this is the ESPN power rankings, and see if you guys agree that these are the top teams in the NFL. And I'm going to just do the top 10. But they got number 10, they got the Eagles. And as we both know, Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick, we don't know, you know, when Vick is coming back. Right now, Kevin Cobb's got the offense moving. Do you guys agree that the Eagles are the 10th best team in the NFL? I mean, Chosen, do you agree on that?
No.
I knew Dallas fans wouldn't agree. I do. They got. Look at the record.
They're 4-2.
You got to look at the record. Whether you like the team or not, look at the record. Right.
Let me ask you a question on this, though. Do you guys think that when Michael Vick does get healthy and able to play, you think they're going to go back to Kevin Cobb start and Vic coming in for a couple of wildcat plays or a couple of plays here and there, or will Vic jump right back into the starting role? I'm asking you, Rick, because I know you follow the NFC. He's pretty close.
You know, I actually think, you know, he's going to end up
going with Michael Vick when he comes back. I don't know. Something tells me that he's going to do that. I don't, you know, think most coaches would, but something tells me that he's going to end up doing that.
I think he's the happiest coach in the NFC because he's got two quarterbacks he's, in kind of.
He wants Kevin Cobb to sprain his ankle
right.
or something, nothing too serious.
Right.
You know,
right.
just sprain
so
his ankle
understand.
And come back, you know, now that I ain't got to worry about it because he's in a very tough position because both
right.
those quarterbacks are moving that offense. I mean, point blank,
right.
he's got a good problem.
Mm. Right. Yes, good problem.
And the Eagles actually
right.
moved number 10 from the 14th spot. Last week, so they're moving up the power records as we
I
speak.
I put them up higher than that.
Now, we'll see. I'm going to let you know some of the other teams they got up here. Now, number nine, and I don't think this team needs to be at number nine, and that's the Houston Texans. They got them ranked as the ninth best team in the NFL right
Come
now,
on,
the record
Rodney.
Of 4-2. And the
Come
reason
on,
why
Rodney.
I said they can't be number nine, because I don't know any team that should be ranked in the top 10 that's last in every defensive category. They get the most yardage against them. They're last in pass defense, one's the last in run defense. I don't know how you can have a defense that gives up all those points and yards and you be top 10. I don't understand that.
Well, Rodney, you get, yeah, the Cowboys offense is the top in the league, and they look at their record. Yeah, y'all got the top offense in the league. Yardage every year, you know, 500 yards last week, and look at your record.
But what
so
I'm saying is, that's true.
Can't
but
go
we
on
ain't
that.
Ranked in the top 10. These guys are ranked in the top 10 with the worst defense in the league.
But look at their record. They're 4-2. Y'all won it 4.
We beat
so
them.
That don't mean anything. Right. That don't mean anything.
We beat them. We
I think
beat
Rodney,
them. Anybody think that
we
the Texans
beat
should be
them.
The ninth best
you know
team
what?
In this league?
Y'all beat
we
them,
beat
but
them.
Y'all lost 4 other games.
I have to be honest with you. Anybody that's last in all these statistical categories like this or whatever
I mean,
that situation is, they lost to a team that beats themselves.
Right.
That's point blank. And that's the Cowboys. They lost to the Cowboys. You know, how could they be top 10?
We got good
players, and they the only team let us overcome. Let us overcome our mistakes.
If you say the Cowboys are such a bad team, they only win against this team. So, I mean, how can they be
the Cowboys season? The Cowboys season is not over, and I'll tell you why it's not over because we've only lost one division game. If we don't lose no more division games, the shoe is on the other foot. So the season is still wide open for us, and we know that. That's the talk of the locker room. If we win our next division games and we don't lose no more, you'll see us in the playoffs. Now I know if I had $1 million, I wouldn't be on the radio right now. You know, if I had $1 million. But let me say this. They have standards for a reason, right?
Right, right.
You can't be 1-15 and lead your division, right? So you got to get a team. Their record. That's why they 4-2. Even though they, there's a lot of teams lost to good teams. That don't mean I mean the bad teams. We saw that last week. That's why I was 7-7. Because anybody, but you got to go by the record. Y'all record is 1-4. Their record is 4-2. You cannot rank your team higher than theirs. You got to go by the record. That's why they keep
ranking.
I'll
say
this.
I'm ranking our team higher than theirs because I think we got better players.
They started off 0-5.
Who was that?
Who said it again?
San Diego. San
Diego.
Or something like
that.
They turned their season around.
You really can't say nothing.
They got to the Super Bowl. But a quick update real quick while we're going over NFL. I want to let everybody know that's listening live. The Rangers are in a little bit of trouble. It's just 7-3, bottom of the 8th. And we just loaded up the bases. So hopefully we get some pitching in here real quick. They're bringing in Darren Oliver to try to close this thing out. So we'll keep you updated on that. Now we talked about the Texans. Now this team here is ranked number 8 in the league right now, and I can't really put my finger on this team. Another team that we played and we actually lost to and that's the Tennessee Titans. And as you guys know, from Monday night, what's his name? Vince Young went down, said just a sprain, so he could come back maybe not next game, but the game after. Kerry Collins came in. Collins is already quarterback this team to what, 16-1 record at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys think that the Titans should be the eighth best team or even the top 10 team in the NFL?
They beat y'all.
Well, yeah, they beat us. I mean, they ain't the only team that beat us.
Right.
I can't disagree with them being up there.
They find
winning.
A way to
you
win.
Know, I can't
win.
Disagree with them being there.
Right. They find a way to win.
Well, they do got a Super Bowl caliber running back in Chris Johnson. So any team with that, and as long as the defense stays stout, they could make waves. I mean, they've only played one divisional game. That's against the Jaguars. So we'll see what happens on that end. The number 7 team in the power ranking, and this team I thought would be a lot better, although they are still 4-2, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. Anybody think the Falcons are justified, you know, being number 7?
Can't argue.
Hell yeah.
So you guys are good with the Falcons being number 7?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm
good
with that.
Now, here's an interesting pick at number 6, okay? They got the New Orleans Saints, the number 6 team, okay? And the Saints are actually the highest-ranked NFC team on the list. The highest-ranked NFC team on the list are the Saints at number 6. I don't think they should be number 6. I think they could be lower than that. And I mean, the offense did show a little something last week, but we all know that offense hasn't been clicking like it once did last time, and they played a lot of close games, a lot of field goal-winning games, and the defense ain't getting the turnovers like they did last year. I don't think they should be number 6.
Win.
Especially
like
the highest-ranked NFC team.
It just seems like the NFC is so wide open right now, which is one of the reasons I think the Cowboys still got a great chance to do what they need to do.
You're right.
The NFC is so wide open. I mean, I can't really argue them being 6 or being the highest-ranked NFC team. When you going to put there, the Giants? We're going to smash the Giants Monday night.
Chosen, what you think? You think the Saints, I know you talked about the Saints before. You think they should be number 6 on the power rankings and also the number 1 NFC team on the list?
I'll say this. The Saints have been given the hardest possible schedule the NFL could come up with. And I still think that they are winners. I think they should probably be ranked higher, in my opinion, just based off of what the team is capable of. And I'm not a Saints fan. I really don't like the team per se. It's all Cowboys. That's all I can see. But, I mean, I give credit where credit is due. I still like their team.
Well, they are the Super Bowl
champions.
They're
the Super Bowl champions. Somebody beat them.
Right.
They're the champions. Somebody beat them.
Now, we're going to do the last top 5 a little bit differently. Now that you guys know that the top 5 and the power rankings are all AFC teams, I want to hear you guys' top 5. And we'll compare it to the list. So, Russ, you give me your top 5 NFL teams. And of course, they're going to be AFC teams and as far as in this ranking. But if you don't want to pick an AFC team, that's fine. You know, pick whatever top 5
teams. They're not going to be in order, but you got to give it to Pittsburgh. You got to put the Jets. You got to go with Kansas City, even though they lost. And I think my 15 would probably be the Colts.
Okay.
Rick,
who you think is the top 5?
I would say the Jets, and in no particular order though. But you know, the
Ravens
would be there. The Steelers would be there. The Patriots would be there, and the Colts would be there.
Right.
Well, I have to say that it's real clear and easy for me to pick a number 1 spot in the AFC. Single-handedly, I just give it to the Jets. I think the hunger level that they have to win and actually want to prove to the city of New York that they exist, along with the addition of LT, I just don't see anybody you know, strong enough to really compete with that will to want to win. Secondly, I would put the Steelers.
number two. I think that's easy for me. I mean, come on, you winning with or without Roethlisberger. You have a vicious defense. I mean, a sensational defense, probably one of the best in the NFL, in my opinion. And then number three, I got to give it to I think three and four. You know, I have to combine in three. I'll split that between the Colts and the Patriots. And
okay.
You know, number five, that's kind of tough for me, man. Number five, I would go
Ravens
to yeah, the Ravens, just the defense. The defense, just a consistent defensive effort.
Right. Now, everyone's pretty much spot on. Now, Royce and Rick. Now, Royce. Now, you named five teams, but which team do you think is the number one team in the NFL?
The Jets.
Rick, would you say the Jets too?
Yeah, the Jets. I would like for them to be anyway.
Wow. Now, the Jets do have the best record in the league. I mean, they did exactly what they said they're going to do. Going to the bye week with the best record in the league, and they did that. But the power rankings have, they have the number five team is the Colts at 4-2. They got number four, the Ravens at 4-2. They got number three, the Patriots at 4-1. And the Jets are 5-1 at number two. And they got the Steelers number one at 4-1. Although this is Roethlisberger's first game back, they got them ranked number one.
Now, what's Kansas City's record?
Damn. Kansas City is actually 4-2.
4-2?
I'm sorry.
They ain't even in the top 10.
They're 3-2.
No.
But they're ranked 13th on the list. They barely missed the top 10.
Right. Okay. I don't know how. You got to give them credit for four wins and two losses, you know. So.
Yeah, you do.
And they beat some pretty good teams. So.
Well, they got a game against Jacksonville coming up. They beat Jacksonville. They might move up some spots.
Right. Okay.
Out of those five AFC teams, I would have rather it being, you know, the Jets. You know, if the Cowboys can't be number one on that list, you know, and it's got to be one of them AFC teams, let it be the Jets.
Okay. We're going to talk about the Cowboys.
Speaking of Cowboys, we're going to get into that now real quick. As you guys know, the Cowboys lost what I consider to be a damned if you do, damned if you don't game. Because if you win that game, you're 2-3.
15 minutes.
But if you lose that game, you're 1-4. You're still looking at a bad record either way it go. And the Cowboys on this list have dropped from 19 last week to 26 on the list out of 32 teams. So they're down in the power rankings. The only teams that they're better than right now on the rankings is the 49ers at 1-5, the Raiders at 2-4, the Lions at 1-5, the Browns at 1-5. And the Panthers and the Bills with no wins. And those are the only teams that we better than. So you got everyone saw the game on Sunday. We all saw the dumbass penalty that they got on the first touchdown with Miles Austin jumping over Roy Williams. And the penalty actually called on Sam Hurd for throwing up the wrong Texas sign, trying to throw up the Texas sign. We all saw the penalty that the offensive line got. We all saw Romo doing what he can do best and throw a pick at the end of the game. I mean, we all saw the defense giving up some points. We all saw that. We saw the special teams once again let somebody run a kickback, this time for a touchdown. So let me start with my Cowboy fans first because I know Royce, you're going to pound us this week. Let me start with my Cowboy fans first, man. What the hell happened Sunday?
Oh, man. The Cowboys really just tripped out, you know, Sunday. They really did. I think, you know, the penalty situation, man, I think the Cowboys are overboard on that situation, while at the same time I think the refs are overboard for calling that. I mean, be for real. You know, especially if the penalty is not going to be on Miles Austin, why would you call it on Sam Hurd? I mean, but the Cowboys need to quit putting themselves in them dumb-ass positions. Why do they need to just stop that, man. I do like how they start being sarcastic, though, and start shaking hands and stuff like that in the end zone when they score. You know, that was kind of funny to me. But they need to celebrate at the end of the game, like Coach said. That's what they need to do. They need to stop with all the penalties, however you get them. And Romo need to chill on the interceptions, man. Romo need to stop that. Romo is a much better quarterback than that. He proved that last year. You know, he need to go out there and actually, you know, concentrate. While I do give that linebacker, I give that boy credit because he made a hell of a play right there. He made a good play. He fooled a quarterback, and that probably would have got most of the quarterbacks in the league. But the Cowboys need to stop that, man. Our defense, once again, they really only gave up 7 points. You know, the other ones were special teams in two plays where the offense tricked it off. How the defense is out there doing what they need to do. Romo need to get his stuff together, man. Romo need to get that together, and they need to chill on the penalties, man. Romo is part of the problem, too. As good as he is, and as much as I like him, he's part of the problem out there. He needs to cut that out.
Now, quick update real quick on the Ranger game. The Rangers actually made it out that eighth inning without giving up a run. They start out the ninth inning with Josh Hamilton. He hits another home run.
Yes.
To put the Rangers up 8-3, man. It's like we're going to have a World Series in Arlington, Texas. I mean, that's serious.
I'm going to go out and get that.
Another home run, put them up 8-3.
That's right.
Shit.
But we're not worried about the Rangers.
Let me go back to what you said real quick, Rick. I want to ask you this, man. And I wrote a blog that night, and I was really, really hard on Romo. Because I'm tired of it. I'm fed up with Romo right now. Romo came in. He made his introduction into the homes of all of us, in the homes of the world, fumbling the ball, okay, causing a turnover. And this is the second week in a row he's ended a drive to win a game with a damn interception. It's the second week in a row. It's second week in a row. And we've always said, well, Romo's putting up good numbers. He's doing okay. He's putting up passing numbers. I got to put a lot of blame on this guy for us being 1-4, man. I have to. From the dumbass decision in the game, first game, throw that pass to Charles Choice, whatever the call was from the sideline, you know better than that. You've been playing football long enough, you know better than that. To throwing these two interceptions in the last to the end of the game on drives that we could actually won the game, and I'm tired of it. He came into our homes fumbling the ball, causing turnovers. And he's doing it once again. And he's been doing this throughout his whole career. Regardless of what the numbers say, regardless of what the passer rating says, he's been doing this time and time again. He's got the lowest passer rating right now in the NFL in the fourth quarter. And you got to have a quarterback that's going to deliver in the fourth quarter to win anything, let alone the Super Bowl. I'm just tired of
Romo. I agree with you totally. Romo gets a lot of the blame. You know, I'm riding with Tony Romo, and I still think Tony Romo's a good quarterback. And what gives me hope is the fact that he had those games where he's throwing 300 yards and he's running out of the pocket to try to make a play. The boy is just a street player out there, man. I'm just like I said before, his best asset can be our worst enemy. It really can, because that boy just be out there trying to make plays, man. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And in this case, it's not working for him like that. So he need to chill. He need to relax a little bit and try something else, you know. But he gets some of the blame. He gets a lot of the blame.
Charles, you want to weigh in on the Tony Romo thing? What did you see Sunday? What's wrong with the Cowboys, man?
Like I said, you know, when I first, you know, made a comment, period, about what's wrong with the Cowboys.
Rangers up 10-3.
Yeah, Rangers up 10-3, hit another home run. I mean to cut you out, but they up 10-3. They have a batting practice
amazing
out there. Nelly Cruz this time.
Shut up.
I mean,
they're beaking them, boy. Two run homer.
You got to start with the head, man. You got to start with the head. This is Jerry Jones' team, and it runs how he wants it to run. And until we can replace the coaching staff that we have, and we can bring some discipline to the team. You know,
you think it's solely on the coaching staff?
That's undisciplined. I mean, the whole thing, you come back and you repeat the same mistakes that you made the week before. That's practice. That's what practice is supposed to correct. If the coaches don't see what they're supposed to see, then they're supposed to keep practicing. There's no improvement with the dumb mistakes that we're making, and that's a reflection of the coaching. Especially when the stats show what they show, and we still almost win these games. That's coaching. I'm sorry. That's coaching. As long as we've got Coach Jerry Jones, you know, we're going to see this.
Okay, can I run around too, man?
They get blamed, too. The coaches get blamed.
Okay, let me say this. It's sad week after week to hear y'all Cowboy fans try to pick the good stuff, the stuff y'all can hold on to out of the game. It really is week to week. That's all I hear. And the players. You got good players, but you got to realize good teams don't make mistakes like this. Let me tell you what Tony Romo is. Tony Romo is our Danny White. Danny White had all kind of numbers playing with the Cowboys, but he couldn't win the big ones. This is y'all generation, Danny White. So let's just get this off the table. Let me finish. Y'all need to listen to this. We went through the same thing with Danny White. He broke all kind of records, but he couldn't win the big one. This is y'all's generation, Danny White. He was a good quarterback. He wasn't a great quarterback. Tony Romo isn't a great quarterback. He's an average quarterback. Until y'all realize that he is not the savior of this franchise, you'll never win a championship. I'm not going to fault Jerry. Jerry did everything from going to get the worst, most players nobody wanted to building a new stadium. So he's done everything he could. Y'all have to realize that this team is not good. They have great players, but they're not a good team. Good teams don't make this mistake. Good teams find a way to win. Good teams step up when they're down. Good teams come from behind and win games. This is not a good team, period. I'm talking about coaching staff on down.
They're a good team.
They're
a very good team.
They are a stupid team. Dez Brown, he's got three running backs. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons to hide whatever fault that he has.
He's got a hell of a defense. Danny White, all those parts you named is a good team.
Danny White had a good team.
Give him credit for being older than winning the ship. Give him credit for
Danny White.
Emmitt Smith had a good offensive line. Can't take nothing away from him.
Danny White had a good team.
He did. They went to the NFC Championship.
They didn't win.
They lost out. Danny, Tony Romo. He got in there. Look, it's like this. It's what, 11 games left? We all know that the Cowboys ain't going to win 11 games. We all know that. But the Cowboys can win 7 or 8 of these games. We all know they're not going to win 11. We know that. But they can win 7 or 8 of these games.
Okay, but if they go 8-3 the rest of the season, they end up 9-7. I mean, I don't think that's going to be enough to make it to the playoffs in the NFC East. That's not going to be enough.
I wouldn't say that just yet because the NFC is just too wide open right now. People losing to people they shouldn't be losing to. You know, it's not like that. Look at the pack. It's too even out there. It's too even out there right now. The Cowboys still got a chance. Now, 9-7, can you get into the playoffs with that? Yes, and the Cowboys have a chance to do that.
Yes. They're going to be 9-7 teams in the playoffs. They're going
to
be 9-7 teams in the playoffs.
All they need to do is get into the playoffs, and everybody playing against them going to be scared to play them because they think they can lose. They're going to be sitting there banking on the Cowboys to do something stupid out there. You can't get used to the Cowboys. What bothers me about this team is the lack of correcting their mistakes.
I just don't see. If I could come on this show every Tuesday night and have the same complaints and concerns that I had from last Tuesday night.
That's
what bothers me the most because the stuff that they need to fix, that they need to correct as a team, as players, as coaches, is not being done. They're getting the same amount of penalties for the same amount of yardage every week. Roma's throwing the same pick, the same time of the game, every week. The defense is giving up a touchdown the same time of the game, every week. The special team is giving up a play in the second half of every damn game. Every game they're giving up a play. Every game they're giving up a play. I don't see where they're fixing the mistakes to become a better team. That's what bothers me the most.
The defense. Well, until y'all get a coach that can coach. Yeah, you know, Dallas ain't had a coach in years. I'm telling you, he had Chan Gailey and Barry Switzer. I mean, look at that. Come on now. They couldn't make it nowhere else in the NFL. But Dallas had him. Y'all need a coach. That's the bottom line.
We do need a coach.
Wade Phillips. I don't think Jason, he don't have more pool than Jason Garrett. And whatever they're doing, Wade Phillips is not correcting it. No way in the world I let these guys make the same. And none
we've
of y'all
only lost one game that counts, and that one game that we've lost was against the Skins. All we got to do is win the rest of our division games. If the Cowboys show that they can beat the division rivals, and that includes beating the Giants twice, then I think, you know what I'm saying, you have to retract your words. But if we lose
the
division game
twice in
with
4 weeks,
stupid
they have
stuff,
to beat the Giants twice in 4 weeks.
I don't think y'all can beat the Giants or Philly. That's my opinion.
But I don't think you
can beat neither one of these teams. All they got to do is draw you offside. All they got to do is pick on your back. I mean, think about it. That's all they got to do, and they can beat you. It's caused you to make mistakes, they can beat you.
Oh, all they got
to
do is
they don't have to dominate the game.
It's the celebration
they don't have to dominate the game. Right.
They
just score and celebrate.
Yeah, the celebration stuff. I mean, but if the referees wanted to call holding, they could call holding on every play. We just need to do ours a little slicker or something. They calling it on us. We got to do something to change that. The celebration stuff, that's on us.
Stop holding.
And, man, everybody does that. Everybody does that. You look at Darrell Reeves. Every time you run out with a quarterback, you see their jersey moving. It's just part of the game out there.
I'm going to ask you this, okay. Now, the one thing that really ticked me off about the game was after that penalty was called, the celebration penalty, I was expecting somebody getting in somebody's face. I'm looking at Wade. He got that dumb look on his face.
He ain't
jumped in nobody's face. He ain't did a damn thing. He ain't did nothing.
For every penalty,
he didn't
do nothing.
He ain't got nobody's grill, nobody's face, no nothing. So
I'm
going to ask
no
you this.
Penalty.
If the coaches are not doing
no
it,
argument for you
if
that,
the coaches are not going
to
do it, who on this
Who's
team gonna is going
to
get in somebody's face in their locker room? Now, we've all been in locker rooms before. If you mess up, you cost us a game. If the coach don't get on you, it's going to be one of us getting in your face in that locker room. We're going to fight. We're going to do something. I've been in several locker rooms when it got in somebody's face about them losing us a game, period. Now, who on this team is doing that? Who on this team is getting in somebody's face?
That's what Jerry Jones needs to be doing. If he can come down at that skybox in that field, he needs to be hollering at people in that locker room. And, again, that's where it comes down to. When the head is corrupt, you're going to see that type of stuff on the team. Now, when we had to tune in there, that type of stuff wasn't happening. When we had Jimmy Johnson, that type of stuff sure wasn't happening. Which is stunning to me why nobody is bringing up why hasn't somebody been fired? I don't understand that. I mean, you got to send a message to your coaches.
You got to find somebody.
Are not going to be tolerated.
Right. Yeah. And let me tell you something. When Tuna was there, y'all were the most penalized team too. So this is not just an overnight thing. This has been the thing of this organization. And I think it's lack of leadership and lack of coaches, the right coach for the right team. You can have the best players and have the wrong coach. You understand what I'm saying? All the talent in the world, but if you don't know how to utilize that talent or put together, you know what I mean, or motivate that talent, then you're not doing any good. That's what I see with the Cowboys. Best talent in the league, but no leadership.
And then the three speakers, Jerry Jones, and actually Jerry Jones made a point not to come to the locker room in this game. He's always there for when they do the speech, and
he
speaks as well as GM. And he wasn't even at the he didn't even come in the locker room after the game. He did have some
quotes that came out today.
He basically says, and this is a quote from Jerry Jones. He says, a lot of people say the old saying, you are what you are. And when you look at 1-4, he said, we're not that. He said, our team is doing some very good things. He goes on to say, I believe we can turn things around. While the odds are against us, we can make all things happen that we wanted to do this year. And then when they asked him about, of course, what changes he can make or if he's going to look at coaching changes, he says, I believe in these guys, I believe in the coaching staff, and I believe in Wade Phillips.
That's the problem.
That must be the problem because, I mean, maybe it's me. I'm so prejudiced when it comes to the Cowboys. You know, I always believe they got a chance to do something. And I still think that they can do it, although I'm mad as hell at the stuff that the Cowboys been doing out there. Mad as hell, but still got a chance to get out there and do it. And I say, every team that play against us don't really want to be there that day.
Well, you know, when Jerry said a couple of years ago, any team could take this team to the Super Bowl, I think he believed that. But that's not true. Anybody can't take the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. You remember how he said that a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah, there's some truth to that. Yeah.
He needed to forget about what that philosophy, go ahead and put his foot in his mouth and say, I made a mistake.
He's never going to do that.
He needs to stay GM because all the stuff that you said he did, he built this team, brought these people here, got the new stadium, blah, blah.
He's good
all
at that.
GM stuff. Stay away from the coaching stuff. Let somebody else do that.
Well,
that's the part about Jerry that I get upset with.
Now, he goes on to say, and this is a quote, he says, it's going to be quite a challenge to be in a playoff hunt. He said, just look at it mathematically. We have a high percentage of remaining games to win. This is a league that is real close, and all you've got to do is look at the scores and see how close these teams are. So it's not a real challenge. He says, on the other hand, we've got a team that's playing well, and this isn't a rationalization, but we're actually better each week. And we are playing better with the exception of one thing that's got us in this position, and that's the unfortunate penalties. It's not just the rack up of the yards, but it's the plays that are being called back. And that's a good viewpoint, but what is happening to change? It's every week. It's every damn week. It's every week. Every week.
He's supposed to say that he owns the team, plus he's trying to, you know, if you start losing, nobody's going to go to the game. He's got to build that stadium. We know that. So he has to say that.
That's real talk, though. That's real talk. You know, if they can stop the penalty situation. Because it's not even just the penalties. It's when they happen, man. If they can stop that situation right there, man, the Cowboys, their record would be a whole lot better. I mean, just think about it. Did you know the Cowboys is favored to beat the Giants? You know that, right? They favored 3 points.
They paved to win every week.
Hey, that's because people
know.
I'm telling you, dog. I'm telling you, man, the Cowboys is not no sorry team. The Cowboys is a good team. They are a dumb team right now. They need to cut that stupid stuff out. The interception at the most inopportune time out there, the penalties at the times that they shouldn't happen, that's the stuff that the Cowboys need to stop, man. Other than that, I'm telling you, the defense plays superb. Sunday. They did what they needed to do. Them points out there wasn't their fault. You can't stop nobody from getting a field goal or a touchdown when they already on the 45 or they catch an interception on the 30. I mean, dang, that is Minnesota.
A quick note, we're going to let everybody know it is final. The Rangers go up 3-1 in the series. They beat the Yankees at home again, 10-3. They actually go to close this thing out.
That's my team.
It
ain't the Cowboys. It's the Rangers. The Rangers are my team.
Because for real, let me tell you something, Rodney. I did something last night that I ain't done in a long time. You know, I mean, a real long time because it's really boring to me. You know, the stuff that's exciting about it is very exciting, but overall it's incredibly boring to me, man. But I sat down last night and I started watching that boy throw that heat at them boys last night.
Man,
got caught up into that game, man. I'm telling you, that boy was out there throwing whatever he wanted to, put it wherever he wanted to put it at, and he had him whiffing out there. And then it got kind of funny because the catcher got used to him. The catcher, he was catching the ball and all that, and then that other boy came in that last inning and started throwing them 99s and them 97s, you know, and the catcher was back there shaking his head.
Right.
Like, damn, you know. I was excited about that game last night, man. I mean, big ups to the Rangers, man, for real. Big ups to the Rangers.
Well, you know, if y'all got Washington to coach and Lee to be your quarterback, y'all make them win some games.
But my question, we're gonna close out on this, man. But, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the coaches. We talked about Romo and the players. I mean, the players are the ones that commit a lot of these penalties. Who is the leader of this team? Who is in the locker room holding these guys accountable? Because we know it's not the coach. So who is in the locker room holding these guys accountable? Who are they scared
to
see after the
game? It's hard to do that. I don't think Jerry Jones is allowing it. Everybody looks at Jerry Jones as that person, in my opinion. You know, not the coaches and not the other players. If the players tried to do it, I mean, if the coaches tried to do it and the players was upset with it, like I said, they'll probably just say, look, man, I'll call Jerry on you. You know, Jerry needs to break that relationship with those players. Whatever relationship it is he's got, those players don't need to feel comfortable. They need to go out there and be hungry. Every last one of them, they need to play like they poke.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna say this in closing. If y'all should know how Detroit Lions fans feel, because they lose all the time, but they always try to find something good out of the game. Y'all just keep it up. I'm enjoying it, you know. And next week, I hope y'all can find something to hang your hat on.
Now, if they go 1-5, I mean, we all got to push the panic button.
If they go 1-5,
we win this game. We win this game, and the Cowboys show everybody and the fans and the critics that when it's time to win the necessary game, we do that. And we got that in us this season. We win this game by 7.
Now, Chosen, let me ask you, Chosen, who was in the locker room holding this guy accountable? Who's in the locker room holding this guy accountable?
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
What I'm asking you is, who in the locker room is the leader of this team? Getting in somebody's face, pushing somebody in the head, putting their finger in their chest like, you need to come on, man. You losing us games. Who's doing that?
There is no leader like that in the team.
Now, how can you have a team? Every team that you can think of right now is a Super Bowl contender. All those top five teams went over in the power rankings have a player like that. If it's Roethlisberger, they got Roethlisberger on offense. They got Hines Ward. They got James Harrison, got Troy Polamalu. Any of these guys' faces holding them accountable. The Ravens, you got Ray Lewis. The coach, you got Peyton Manning. You think Peyton Manning going to stand for no penalties, no celebration penalties, a holding call? Think he going to stand for that? The Jets.
Rex Ryan
holding these guys accountable. For the Jets.
You got
Belichick, Tom Brady holding them accountable on the Patriots. Who is doing that on the Cowboys?
We don't have one. There's no other way to say it. We don't have that player. You don't see him taking the role. You don't see him doing the interviews. You don't see his leadership quality for the questions with the press. You just don't see that leader. You see everybody saying what we have to do as a team. And I think that's real good. But at the same time, those leaders are born, man. You just don't step up and say you want to start doing that. You know, they haven't got it to Miles often enough. You know what I'm saying? They haven't had enough breakout runs from anybody in the backfield. You know, Witten, I don't think, has completed enough key passes yet. So as we develop, I think you may see that after the end of this game. You may see that.
And if you had to give it to a person, I would think that it would be Keith Brookins. That's who I would think that it would be. But Keith Brookin has actually had a couple bad games, and it's not really much he could say right now because they had a game where he had a bunch of penalties called on him, you know. But if
that's
you had to
good
give
question.
It to somebody,
if there
I would,
is a player
would,
like
would,
that, who do y'all want that play? Who y'all think that player should be?
Well, you know what, Rodney? All y'all need to do is win a game. Winning changes everything. y'all win Sunday, and you'll see a different Cowboy team. But until y'all win, you know, you can point the fingers all day long. But like I said, winning
changes
everything.
If they win Sunday, will we see a different Royce, though?
No.
You certainly won't.
You certainly won't. I am a Ranger fan, and that's all I'm thinking about is the Rangers right now. If the Cowboys win the rest of their games and get in the playoffs, I'll root for them. But until then, I'm a Ranger fan, and that's it.
I love it. I love it.
Now, Chosen, who would you want to see as that player that steps up on the Cowboys? They're going to need somebody to step up whether they win or lose on Sunday. If they make a playoff run, they got to have that one player that steps up.
Well, the one player I would like to see step up is Tony Romo. That's the guy that everybody is banking on. And I think if he can step up, then Marion Barber will come next and so forth and so forth. But I would really like to see Romo step up.
A guy I like to see step up is not even Romo. I like to see DeMarcus Ware get some of these guys' faces, man. I mean, because you can't knock what Ware is doing on the field out there. You can't knock it. He's in the backfield. He's causing pressure. He's getting sacks. You know, so I like to see DeMarcus Ware get in some of these offensive players' face and let them know what time it is. And then, of course, holds a lot of these defensive players accountable, too, which I think he probably does.
DeMarcus Ware kind of nice, though, man. He is for real, he's a really good dude. He's a nice person out there, man. I don't think that he's got the personality for it to get out there and get in people's faces like that. I would like
that's
to
even
see
better.
It. I wish
that's
he,
even better
I wish
to
he,
me. That,
cause I wish
to
he
see
did,
that, see that aggression in his face and see that he means business might change the team around.
Yeah, I mean, it probably could because everybody knows that he don't have that kind of personality. And they might say, whoa, look here, look what we done did. You know, maybe we do need to change. Yeah, I could see something like that. I just don't think DeMarcus Ware would, but I would like to see it.
Y'all just need a win, and you'll see a different team. That's all y'all need is a win.
And what happened to this players-only meeting? I mean, since this players-only meeting, we what? Lost two games?
Yeah.
Players-only meeting, they won one, yeah. They need to have another one. And they need to tell Tony Romo, look here, man, we're going to tie you up against the goalposts and start punching you or something, man, if you don't stop throwing these interceptions.
Well, you know what, though,
Rick, I'm out on Romo.
We can overcome some of those penalties, man, if we don't just give the ball back to him.
I got a question. If you know, Miles Austin seems like every time he gets his hands on the ball, something happens. Why would you quit not throwing to him? You know, let him dominate. What's wrong with him doing 200 yards, 3 touchdowns? I mean, Tony Romo takes his eye off the focus. He's just like a guy in basketball. You get a high hand, you go give him the ball, right?
Yeah.
The defense is starting
to check them. They rolling that other player.
But you know what,
there.
Though? But you know, that whole offense last year, they fibbed the ball the whole year last year. They fibbed the ball the whole year last year.
Nobody can stick Miles Austin. Nobody.
I'm just saying, you know, they shading that other safety over there. That boy getting that double coverage plus the press coverage. He's still going to be able to get a little some. But if I was Tony Romo, I would try to force it over there to him. But I got Dez Bryant and Roy Williams catching everything right now. I mean, I'm not just going to be stupid. I got options. I need to stop throwing interceptions. That's what I would be saying.
We got the best tight end in the game, and he needs to be utilized.
Business.
If they utilize him, that'll open up everybody else. I think if anybody is the veteran and the true leader of the team, you know, on second thought, I would like to see Witten, you know, step up and really lead the team.
Well, yeah, I got to remember, they did the same thing to T.O. They stopped throwing to him, and you see what happened. So I hope the same thing will happen to Miles Austin. He's trying to get his tight end too much involved. Forget about his wide receiver. He did the same thing with T.O. But when T.O. got the ball, he scored touchdowns.
Man,
But think about with Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman wouldn't have been Troy Aikman without a Jay Novacek.
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, I understand that. I definitely think they're not going to abandon Miles Austin, but I think they want to center it around Bryan.
Yeah, I think that's what
they gave him at number 88, which I didn't agree with that. They gave him the 88. They got to earn that number.
I told y'all it was something special about that boy out there, man. And it don't seem like they can bring him down either, huh? That boy a beast out there, man.
He dropped a critical pass. That was a rookie mistake in my book.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He was scared of the hit, though. He was scared of that hit. That's what I thought. He's going
exactly.
to get plenty of time. He'll get plenty of time to pick up for that. That's why I would say that's a rookie mistake. Go ahead and catch that and get you one. How you doing, boy?
But if I had Miles Austin, if Tom Brady had Miles Austin, he had 20 touchdowns by now.
Mm.
All I got to say about that.
Yeah, there could be more to do about the system and the quarterback. And that if he was there, they got an offensive system that actually seems the game plan a little bit better than the Cowboys do. So we'll see definitely about that. Well, I want to thank everyone for calling in and being on the show, man. It was a great show tonight. We covered a lot of topics, man. And make sure you guys check back in with us tomorrow for the NBA preview show. It's going to be a real good show. It'll be a little bit shorter show, but we're going to get into a lot of NBA preview stuff, some trades, new teams, who we're going to think is going to win the West, who's going to win the East, what sleeper team we need to look out for, who's going to have a breakout season, and who's going to be the MVP of the league. So closing out this segment here, I want to ask you guys a quick NBA question, since we already talked a lot of Cowboys and NFL. Does anybody see the Heat winning 72 games? Anybody want to go on record with that?
I will.
I give them 64.
Damn,
there's no way they win 72.
I can't give them 72.
I see the Celtics as the team to beat this year. Too much post. We'll be talking about that again after All-Star break. Mark my words.
Yeah. I don't think that he may have these conference. I'm just gonna go on record and say that. I'll explain myself tomorrow. But I don't think that
let me ask you this just real quick though. That's not hater talk, is it?
No, not at all, not at all.
I just wanted to get it clear because, on record, the man is a Kobe Bryant fan for all y'all listening. He's Kobe Bryant, and everybody else is secondary.
I just say that they're not going to make out East because the only team I think that could really beat the Lakers or has a chance is the Celtics. They're the only team that could take them 7 games. I think they'll meet the Lakers again in the finals. They'll go 7 games. If not the Lakers, then it's going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder, man.
I'm going to step out and say this before I go as my last comment of the night. You know, go Rangers, all that good stuff. To be honest with you, the matchup that Miami has, even if Pat Riley came down out the box and took control of that team, they get swept by the Lakers. They get swept.
Oh, yeah.
They're not ready.
Well, we're going to have a good show tomorrow.
Hey, hold on. Chosen, for real, you're not just no overboard Kobe Bryant fan now, are you? I mean, I done heard you defending him quite a bit.
Phil Jackson is the greatest coach of all times. He's coached the greatest players of all times. And the squad that they have now cannot win a game. Miami cannot win a game against that type of offense. They can't do it. It's not going to happen.
Mm. My last comment is Robert Ory got more rings.
That'll be LeBron's second time getting swept in the finals, too.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
okay.
Man. Say, tune in tomorrow, please.
Good
Good night.
All right, we'll be on at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Again, we'll thank y'all for following the show. If you listen to us on the podcast on iTunes, you can follow the show at RF Sports Radio on Twitter, blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports, on the web at rfsports.blogspot.com. And we'll see you guys on Thursday for the regular time of the show. See you tomorrow for the NBA preview. Go Rangers, they're up 3-1, so maybe next time we come on, we'll be talking about them going to the World Series. So we'll see. Thanks for tuning in. God bless y'all and good night.